in terms of herd immunity, that's really a numbers game, and there's not a way for us to know. So we don't know what percentage of herd immunity of folks that are protected that will get us to herd immunity. We think it's probably on the order of 70 to 80%, but it could be even more. So that pool of folks that are protected, there's a couple different ways in order to be protected, not only from the virus that's circulating, but the current variants of concern and the variants of concern that are on their way. And then the other way, of course, is getting vaccinated. So in our state, about 240,000 people have received a vaccine. So that's about 32% of the entire state have received at least one dose. And about 167,000 people have completed the series. So that's 23% of the state. So we're well on our way. Now, when you match that number up with the people that were recently infected, that increases that to some degree. But I think we still have a ways to go before herd immunity is obtained.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. Dorotha, can you talk a little bit about the local vaccine numbers?
Well, yes, I can speak specifically to those that have been allocated to South Peninsula Hospital on behalf of the Unified Command efforts locally. So we have administered 5,225 total doses. That represents just over 3,000 individuals who have received at least the one dose or the first dose, if not the second dose. So far, these collective efforts through the hospital, city, and public health and various partners, we've reached at least 3,000 individuals. But remembering again that we are one of several vaccination sites and efforts, so I am 100% confident that we're well above 4,000 individuals. We did learn this week that the state of Alaska is going to start releasing vaccinated numbers at a more local level. Prior to this, it's been only at borough levels. And so now that numbers are climbing, they're going to start breaking it down more by community or service area. So, for example, throughout the whole pandemic, we've been able to get our testing results based on our service area. And so by the end of this week, the state promises that we will be able to get vaccination numbers the same way by service area.
Great. Thanks, Dorotha. I want to stay with you and maybe even bring in Jenny Carroll, because Jenny Carroll also works on the upcoming vaccine clinics. But first, I want to talk about available vaccine. What kind of vaccine is still available? Is the Pfizer still available from the last allocation for people who are 16 and 17 years old? Are those available right now, Dorotha?
Yes, they are. We have hundreds of Pfizer appointments available. Pfizer is the only vaccine that is authorized, FDA approved for 16 years of age and up. We have hundreds of appointments available. You can do that online on the hospital's website, sphosp.org, and there's a button there that says make an appointment. That button will lead you to appointments at our testing and vaccine site on Bartlett Street. And those are really a variety of days. When you look at that calendar, there's lots of availability, midday, evening, variety of days of the week. Then we also have two what we call mass vaccination clinics planned in April. There will be one on Saturday the 10th and one on Saturday the 17th. And although a lot of what will be happening at both of those are what we call second dose, we're also inviting first dose folks to come and get vaccinated at those as well. And those also will be the Pfizer. However, we now to complicate it, I'm sorry,
That's
but
okay.
we
I've got
also
it. That's why I've got it broken up into
yep.
bits.
So that's for Pfizer. And then we also learned that we will be having some Johnson and Johnson doses coming our way. So it's not clear to me why we call it Johnson and Johnson and Janssen or Janssen, a parent company, I believe. But the Johnson and Johnson is the single dose, And we will have many of those available for Saturday the 10th. So if you are interested in the Johnson & Johnson single dose, those appointments will be made starting at noon today on the hospital website. So you can just go to sphosp.org and there will be a button there specifically for the Johnson & Johnson Saturday, April 10. And you'll be able to make those starting at noon today. If you do not have access to computer, you can call the COVID station 235-0235 and they will help you. But again, those don't become available until noon today.
Thanks. It sounds like there is a lot of vaccine available. In fact, if you go to sphosp.org, you can even, it would appear, choose which kind you'd like to get when you make your appointment, correct? By choosing the date of your appointment. Is it clear on the site which one you'll be getting on which dates?
Yes, starting at noon today. If you go there right now, Thursday morning, you will see only a button for Pfizer appointments. And that is at the swab station on Bartlett Street. There's at least 10 or 12 different days to choose from for that. But starting at noon today, there will also be a different button specifically for the Johnson & Johnson one dosers at the Saturday, April 10 clinic.
Thanks.
And they will be very clearly labeled.
I'm going to move on to Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, because I also have on my notes that there will be a pop-up vaccination clinic at the food pantry coming up. And also the Unified Command is got funding. Did it come through now to schedule a series of pop-up clinics and vaccination clinics to come in the coming months in April and May?
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. Yes, we, the state Department of Health and Social Services has made federal funds available statewide to municipalities for ongoing COVID testing and vaccine response. We have just now, I have in my hands a draft of a memorandum of agreement with the state for those funds. The Unified Command partners have gotten together to make a plan for how we would use those funds. They will support our mass vaccine pod efforts, and those funds will support outreach and a series of pop-up vaccine events, which we're still planning. One of the things that's been very consistent through this very inconsistent COVID year is that things change. And so Unified Command will adapt our plans as we go forward, as the landscape changes about the best way to distribute vaccines. It may not be the mass pod clinics going forward, but as you mentioned, some of these smaller events. So we are planning to try to reach out to underserved or hard to reach members of our community through a variety of smaller events. So stay tuned. When those funds have been formally accepted, we will then go fully into planning those specific dates. The one that has been planned is the one you've mentioned, is one through the food pantry on Monday, April 12th. And I don't have full details on that at this moment. I've just come back from a bit of a personal break. So if Jarotha has anything more she would like to add on that, feel free, Jarotha. I just don't have all the background details on that one.
Well, I would like to add, thanks, Jenny. I would like to add that one is kind of like designed for users of the food pantry. So it's not really it's not designed as a community walk-up or community event. We surveyed users of the food pantry this week on how many are vaccinated already, how many would be interested, and we are aligning supply over at that event with kind of the feedback that we got from the regular users, or not regular, but the users of the food pantry. So it is for folks attending that particular activity that day.
And that's the single dose as well, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay, so if anyone, and oh,
Kathleen,
go ahead. Go
I have
ahead,
one
Jenny.
Other thing just sure. about that funding. I just wanted to thank also Kachemak City. They were also allotted some funds from the state, and they joined with the City of Homer. So we are using joint funds from Kachemak City and City of Homer for our efforts. And I really appreciate Kachemak City coming in with our planning. And we do serve, you know, the Southern Kenai Peninsula through the South Peninsula Hospital service area. So I didn't want to neglect to say a big thank you to Kachemak City.
Great. And also, everyone remember that if you are a patient of SVT Health and Wellness or Kachemak Medical Clinic, then you can contact them to check out what kind of vaccine availability they have. There is lots of vaccine in town right now. Also, go online to Safeway Pharmacy or Ulmer's Pharmacy to see what they have available, because as it is April now, new allocations should have been received by now, but call to check if you prefer to go to the pharmacy or to your medical provider for those vaccine. Call 235-7721 if you have any questions for the panel, or you can email to Kathleen at kbbi.org. Next, I think it's Nurse Lauren. I have one in my Kathleen at kbbi.org queue that says, what is long-haul COVID, and are you seeing it in Homer? So I guess that's for both of you. But first, Nurse Lauren, can you talk a little bit about what people mean when they're saying long-haul COVID?
Yeah, sure thing. And that's a good question. We haven't actually gotten into that too much on the radio yet. But long-term COVID or long-haul COVID simply means that there are long-term consequences of COVID that continue after the primary infection resolves. So what that means is when you get sick, you don't feel well. Everyone has kind of a different type of response, and the range of possibilities there is broad, from I didn't quite feel too well or asymptomatic clear to felt very bad or worse, death. But any of those signs and symptoms that continue, you know, one example is my dad went into the hospital. I just talked to him this morning. He was in the hospital for 10.5 weeks because of COVID. So he just couldn't breathe, and his O2 saturations just crashed anytime he would move. So his ability to move oxygen was diminished. So throughout that 10.5 weeks, he lost 50 pounds, and now he's on 14 meds. He was discharged to a walker and oxygen tank with 50 feet of line, and he's relearning how to walk. So that's one of the more severe cases of COVID. Other instances can include a loss of taste or smell or cough that persist after the actual virus has left the body. I heard from a healthcare professional yesterday an incidence of a chef that lost the sense of taste and smell, and that's really impactful, you know, in terms of that particular person's work.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren, and please do send your father our best.
Oh, I will. He's probably listening, to be sure.
Good, I hope so. Then the next question is for Jenny Carroll. The legislature is now working on an extension of the emergency declaration for the state. Is the city experiencing any issues with that right now? And what could or will change if and when that emergency declaration moves out of the legislature and is signed by the governor?
That's a good question. We, at this point, we have not felt immediate impacts of the time that the legislature has spent debating and deliberating passing a continuation of an emergency declaration for the state. I think, you know, the city recently extended their own emergency disaster declaration, and primarily what that does for us is recognizes that we are still doing response and recovery activities, that those are ongoing, and it confirms the city's continued participation in those response efforts as part of Unified Command and in partnership with other organizations within our community to make sure that we have the tools and the resources and the focus on this COVID-19 that has really impacted all sectors of our lives, from our economy to our mental and physical health. So really, I think at this point, I don't know what the effects will be should our legislature determine not to have a emergency declaration. You know, it could impact funding in the future. That's left to be known. I'm glad to see that House Bill 76 passed the House last week, and this week it went to the Senate Finance. So we'll see what that does, and you know, we don't know what the consequences will be long term, but we do know on a local level that what these disaster declarations do is confirm partnerships and relationships to be able to use each of our individual organizational strengths to bring the best tools we can to protect public health, safety, and our economy. It allows us access to resources and to work as these strong teams. So that's what I feel is the benefit right now of the disaster declarations. And it confirms our continued work till we can call this over. I don't know when that will be, but certainly locally, things are getting better. If you would permit me another, another topic here, but, you know, the local case numbers have been really quite low, and the city recently, went from a level orange alert in our internal, COVID mitigation measures to level yellow. So we're lightening up. And what does that mean to the public? It means that the library now is open to walk-ins. So you no longer have to make an appointment to be in the library. The library is open to walk-ins from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And then there's a short break for cleaning. And then it's open again from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. And that's Monday through Friday. 10 a.m. to 1:30 and 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. The other services that the library developed during the COVID-19 closures so that people have access to library services are still available. You can still do curbside checkout and pickup. You can still get a circulating laptop, utilize the outdoor Wi-Fi, and access all their digital resources. So we're able to open up more to the public, including Community Rec. Community Rec is now also open to drop-in activities. So the drop-in activities are pickleball at the Herc, Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., and Sunday and Tuesdays from 9 to 11 a.m. That you can also still, just like the library, you can also utilize the Herc by reservation as before, going to the city's website, going to the Parks and Rec tab, and there's a web form there where you can see the calendar and sign up and submit a request for a reserved time for a minimum of 4 participants. Of course, we still have preventative measures in place. We ask people to not come into the library or the Herc if you have any COVID-19 type symptoms. Certainly maintaining 6-foot distance, wearing a mask. At the Herc, you know, there's non-contact sports, and the shared equipment is cleaned. We ask people to bring their own water bottles, those kinds of really common sense mitigation measures that we've been doing since the get-go. So it's great news that the efforts that everyone in our community is making to keep that transmission low just allows us to open up more and provide services more fully.
Well, thank you for that update, but it absolutely segues for me into the next thing I wanted to speak about with Nurse Lauren and Dorotha. It is true that cases are under control. They aren't growing in this area, but they absolutely are in the Anchorage area right now. The villages are doing great, mostly due to widespread vaccination. But when we first started talking about this a year ago, one of the conversation often started with, this isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. And I kind of want to revisit that metaphor for a minute, because you don't stop running the race a mile before the marathon is finished. So I've been hearing a lot about people just being tired of masking and not wanting an emergency declaration saying we don't. I heard on Monday our elected official saying that she doesn't want a state of emergency any longer and is working to end it. So I want to talk about what is the best course of action right now to maintain the level of health we have in the community and increase immunity. Nurse Lauren, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Kathleen, you're on it today. You know, I would say, you know, the metaphor of a marathon is a good one, but I guess I would say last March we began training. And then when August came, that was kind of our first marathon. And then as we, you know, eased into fall and winter, things got really tough. So I guess I would call that a back-to-back ultra trail marathon, where not everyone completed the race. That's really tough, and it took a lot of teamwork. So if we look at rates, how much COVID is circulating right now, we're in alert red across the state. So there are a lot of cases circulating, and many of them are unknown throughout the state right now. So the level that we're at right now exceeds where we're at last fall. So there's still a lot of COVID out there. So I guess, you know, right now the primary objective is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. That's clear. Vaccines are safe. And, you know, safe as evidenced by on the order of around 200 million doses have been given in the country, and there's been zero deaths. Now, no vaccine is perfect, and that's evident with these three vaccines as well. You can expect probably some minor side effects like sore arm, swelling, and redness. And some people have systematic side effects as well, like not feeling well for several days, and that's an immune response to that. But I guess I would say, you know, in addition, if vaccine isn't right for you, then that increases the importance of other mitigation measures. The weather is nice out, people are traveling more, and anytime you're around other folks or congregating with others, that represents a chance to transmit COVID. And so I guess we're asking folks to just be vigilant and thinking about how to decrease the chance that virus can transmit from one person to the next.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. I'm going to get to Peggy Erkeneff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District in just a moment, but there is one more question that came through to 235-7721. Roger wants to know, is there a test available in town to test for antibodies after you've had your vaccination? Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, can you take that one?
Yes, there is, and we do offer it here at the hospital. You can either have a physician refer it or a provider refer it, and when that happens, then it may or may not be eligible to be billed to insurance. But we also added it to what we call a request a test panel. And we have, probably close to 15 or 20 tests at the lab, not related to COVID, just in general testing that you can just come and request on your own and pay out of pocket for. And we added the COVID antibody test to that. And so it will end up being $158 to come and just request a COVID antibody test, and we'll just do that here at the lab. If a provider refers it, it can be qualified for insurance. Otherwise, we'll just do it as a cash payment.
Okay, thanks, Dorotha. And Jenny Carroll from the city, is there any chance of using CARES Act funding that the city received to help people pay for that if they need it?
Well, the city doesn't have any CARES Act funding available.
It's over now, right? It's distributed.
We've expended all that the city had. And the funds that we got from the state are specifically for testing and vaccination efforts. So
okay.
Short answer, that's the long answer. Short answer, no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And Kathleen,
yes.
One of the reasons that particular test has a fee but the other ones don't is because there's the value to that test right now is really not clear of how useful that is other than just a curiosity. Whereas a COVID test or a COVID vaccine, Those are both proven to be very effective in helping to manage this, the spread and the negative effects of this disease and this pandemic. So that is why the vaccine and the COVID testing, those are both free of charge, no charge to anybody for those.
Thanks. I want to go to Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Peggy, are you there?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. The first thing I wanted to ask about, end of the year is coming around. I know that Principal Doug Wachlowski from Homer High School will be featured on the COVID update on Tuesday of next week. We already have an appointment to talk. But I wanted to check in with you with a district-wide perspective on, are there going to be food programs in the summer or school district facilities? Are they going to be in use during the summer?
So we don't traditionally do any food during the summer. Our staff don't work year-round, so no meals during the summer. But people can work to rent the buildings and do building use agreements. We require mitigation plans for all those.
Oh, great. So there will be activities and things going on in the school district buildings over the summer. That's good to hear.
And there will be some summer programs happening.
Oh, that was my next question. So what's going on over the summer?
So they're not all in place yet. Over the next month, we'll have those put into place. But we will be having some summer programs. And we're not calling it summer school. It's just summer programs for either credit recovery or catch-up or literacy. So there'll be some different things throughout the entire school district. We're working on that right now.
Great. I'll keep an eye out for that. And what about school district employment? Are you still, I see on your website that you are looking for teachers for the next year, and also there are lots of jobs listed. Is there still employment available through the summer?
We're looking to hire right now and fill a lot of positions, especially in special education. So now's the time to be looking to apply. We also have our principal interviews for both Paul Banks and Homer Middle School. Those are happening next week.
Great. I'm looking forward to that. And what about the, I see job listings for educators, of course. Is there a list of current teachers? I don't mean names. Are there teachers that are just not returning and need to be replaced? Or are these new positions?
We always have retirements and resignations. And I don't have a list of all those positions
now.
But for example, on Monday, all our non-tenured teachers will receive contracts for next year. And that's at the school board meeting. So, but we still have some positions to fill.
Okay. And are you still compiling your list of returning students?
Yes. So this is really important. On Monday, a survey will open from the district, and it'll be open 2 weeks, where we're just asking what people intend to do in the fall. And a couple things for everyone to know. Also on Monday, for all of our schools in the district, when children are outside for PE or outside activities that are organized with the school, masks will no longer be needed. They will be in class and in the building. But if they're outside for PE, no masks will need to be worn. So I'll be making an announcement about that and then asking everybody to please, please fill out that survey. It's really short for the district, even if they did the reply to their own school.
Okay. Thanks so much, Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I'll be looking for notes from the meeting on Monday, and I'll check in with you in the next few days just to see if anything, if there's any new information to get out. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
So I want to give Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital the last word this morning. Dorotha, can you talk about just on the remind people one more time about vaccine appointments, and then talk about tests and about testing availability?
You bet. If you are 16 years of age or older and you live or work in Alaska, you qualify for a vaccine, and we have hundreds of appointments available for you. There are two different locations. One is the vaccine and swab site on Bartlett Street, and the other is when we do what we call mass vaccination clinics, usually at the high school. So if you go on the website right now, sphosp.org, and hit the button, make an appointment, you'll see a dozen at least of days open with appointments for Pfizer vaccine. Pfizer is the vaccine that is approved for 16 years of age and older. Starting at noon today, you will see a button for Johnson & Johnson. That particular vaccine is approved for 18 years of age and older. We have a very limited supply of that particular brand, and we will be doing that at a mass vaccination clinic on Saturday the 10th. All that information will be there. So plenty of COVID-19 vaccines and appointments available for you. If you don't have computer, 235-0235. Testing remains open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is free. There's a very, very inclusive list of people who are eligible to be tested, including if you maybe just were involved in a very large indoor group activity, and you might be concerned about having gotten COVID there. As long as you're at least 5 days post gathering, you can come and get tested. So there's lots of other reasons to get tested. So all of those are on the hospital's website. It is free 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can call in advance, or when you arrive, there's a phone number that is in the parking lot that you call, and you kind of get in the queue to just walk up to the window and get tested. The tested is walk up. It happens just in a matter of a minute and a half, and it's through a window. The supplies are handed to you, and then you do the swab yourself and hand it back through the window. The vaccine is actually through a different door, but in the same building on Bartlett Street, and you actually go inside and receive the vaccine, and then you're observed there by our COVID nurse.
Thanks so much. Now, we've gone 4 minutes over, and I appreciate you guys staying on. Nurse Lauren Carroll or Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, is there anything you feel like we've left out that you want to add before we wrap it up today?
Oh, I guess I'd just say that, you know, as you're considering the risk and benefits of, you know, receiving vaccine versus getting COVID, if the vaccine is right for you, go for it. And if you have any particular reactions, that's a great time to call your doctor. And also mention VAERS so that can be reported. And then also in regards to cost, the vaccine comes at no cost to you. But if you get COVID infection, that can be costly. And I guess lastly, I would say if you don't get COVID, you can't get long COVID. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks so much. Jenny, anything that you'd like to add?
No, I think that covers it. I appreciate being back, and we'll continue on next week.
Thanks so much. That's Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Thanks also to Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. This has been the regular Thursday COVID Brief. The time is 9:36 a.m., I'm Kathleen Gustafson.